Singing, but 3 octaves lower than what I'm used to singing. I am usually a tenor, and I've been hitting bass notes that I'm not used to hitting. Me and my wife, I always love the opportunity I get to sing with my wife. And she has a CD. It's in the back. We have two left, if that would be a blessing to you. They're on the back table. And but Lord willing, our next CD will be me and her together. She wrote a couple of the songs that are on that CD. So she's very talented. I love her dearly, and she's my best friend. And I've been enjoying with her since June, and we've had a great time together. And but that's my excuse. So there's times I know when I was singing, especially that song, "Unseen the Unseen Hand," I was like, usually I could sing that song, hit all the notes, no problem. Not today. But God knows, amen? He knows. Acts chapter 12, and we sang that song for a reason. Preach a message on prayer tonight, and it's something that we all need. Something that we as Christians, need to do more of on a consistent basis. If there's one thing we're lacking the most are in our Christian lives, it's our prayer life. Sometimes we're faithful to church. We might read our Bible. We might pray for some time. But I truly believe that one of the reasons why, A, we don't have revival, B, God doesn't do a lot of things in our life sometimes because it all adds up to we don't have the prayer life we ought to have. You find all throughout the Gospels, Jesus Christ never taught his disciples how to preach. You read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He never says, this is how you make an outline. This is how you preach the word of God. But he always taught his disciples how to pray. That's the importance of prayer and the power of prayer in our lives as individuals and as Christians. Such a powerful thing that we ought to embrace it and do it even more than what we're doing now in our lives. And Acts chapter 12 is a beautiful story here found in God's word. Of people who were in distress, they prayed and God did something about it as a direct result of their prayer. In Acts chapter 12, we're going to read many verses this evening. Acts chapter 12, we're going to begin in verse 1 all the way to verse number 18. So bear with me. I'm from New Jersey, so I read fast. So hopefully you can keep up fast with me. Acts chapter 12, verse number 1, it says in God's word, it says, "And now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, and he put him in prison, and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through 1 street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now of I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together, praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, Go, show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what would become of Peter. Today, I want to preach the message entitled The Prayer for Deliverance. You're going to find in this passage of Scripture how these Christians, they were found. They prayed, and God delivered them from that problem. And it's something each and every one of us can do all the time. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day which you've given us and the opportunity to be in your house this evening. And God, I ask you now, Lord, that you fill with your Holy Spirit's power. And Lord, there are burdens, I'm sure, in this room. People going through things that I might not know, but you sure do. Lord, I pray this sermon would be an encouragement to them, a help to them. And Lord, help us all to be better prayer warriors as a result of this message. For we ask it in your name. Amen. You find here in the book of Acts, there was always some type of persecution going on several times in the book of Acts. Chapter 12 is no different. Herod wanted to make sure. Now, this Herod mentioned here is not the same Herod mentioned in Matthew, but it is his grandson. Herod the Great was the one who tried to issue that proclamation to make sure Jesus was wiped off the face of all the newborns, all the babies. This is his grandson. Herod Agrippa the First. Apparently, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree in this instance. His grandfather wanted to stamp out Christianity, and he's trying to do the same exact thing. Here, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. What that means is he used everything in his power to make sure Christianity was gone. He was going to take any means necessary. He was going to do whatever possible, whatever means he could do. He was the king. He had power under him. He was going to use that power to get rid of Christianity, or so he thought. But you find here he was slightly successful, at least stirring up the pot a little bit. That brings me to number one. There was a problematic situation. There was a problematic situation. What was that problem? Well, in verse 2, you find you jump right into it. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. James was a church leader and served God, and they thought, well, if we kill him, surely the Christians will stop doing what they're doing. They'll stop preaching the word of Christ. They'll stop carrying forth the gospel. So they killed James. But verse number 3 tells us, even went a step further, kind of tells you the story of the state of the people in that area, because it pleased them. It pleased the Jews so much. This is because it saw it pleased the Jews. The king looked out, and he saw it brought happiness to his people. Well, if you know anything about a ruler in politics, they try to do whatever they can to make the people happy. Even if it's not a good thing to do, they'll do whatever it takes. And so he did. He kills James. The people are happy. It made the people happy. It says he proceeded further to take Peter also. Peter, obviously, he's no stranger to us. He's an individual who was part of the inner circle of Jesus Christ. He was the one that walked on water, who was the only one who stepped out of the meal. We give Peter a hard time. You know, when he took his eyes off Christ, we say, oh, Peter sank, he lost his faith, but I didn't see any other disciples step out of the boat. Peter would be the one who preached Pentecost. He was an individual. Was he fault? No, he had his faults. But Peter was still a foundational member of the church, a great Christian, a great leader, a great preacher. And now he's in prison. James is dead. Peter's in prison. Surely the Christian is thinking, well, our time is done. Surely we just need to quit. We just need to stop. But they didn't. And that brings me to number 2. They were praying saints. You find in verse number 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. See, the people didn't just cower away. They didn't just succumb to the persecution that was all around them at that time. You know what they did? Did the only thing they knew they could do at this point in their life, turn to God in prayer. I'm sure all of us can go back to a time when we tried to exhaust everything we could do, and the only thing we had left to do was go before God in prayer. That's exactly what they did. See, one of the things is, if we just went to God in the first place, Maybe we would have avoided all the heartache and hardship and all those things to begin with. See, the people immediately went to God in prayer. They went to God so much, it says, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church and to God for him. That means that every moment of every day, while Peter was in prison, someone was praying for him. Talk about a church who cares. Talk about people who care. And there they are praying for Peter. What an amazing thing about that. Now you find here, prayer was made without ceasing of the church and the God for him. Let me ask you, when you start going through a thing, when you start going through certain things in your life, how much do we pray? How much do we try to seek God's face? How much do we try to get a hold of God in our lives? See, the problem is the church could have just said, okay, we're done. Okay, we quit. Okay, it's over. It's done with. We're just giving up. But they didn't. They kept praying. Oh, what would happen as people prayed more often than we do? Could it happen that we see revival? Could it happen that things that we need in our life would get answered a whole lot sooner if we just sought God's face? 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says three very simple words. Pray without ceasing. Always have the mindset and care about you. Kind of like Nehemiah. Nehemiah was an individual who loved the Lord. And when he heard the gates of Jerusalem were broken down and the gates were burned with fire, what he did was he went out and he wept and he prayed to God. I was he did. And he prayed and he God to forgive him for his sins and his father's sins and Israel's sins. But he knew he was going to stand before the king. He was there. And he stood before the king, and as he's having a conversation with the king, in the middle of his conversation, the Bible records something that he did. It says, and so I prayed to the God of heaven. He's in the middle of having a conversation with Artaxerxes, the king at the time. And say, well, did Nehemiah just interrupt his conversation, get on his knees, and call out to God in prayer? No. And say, well, how exactly did he pray? Just like some of us pray it once in a while. You know, when we're in the middle of doing something, we need God's help, we say, Lord, can you help me right now? Maybe we don't say it outwardly, but we say it in our thought. I believe that's exactly what Nehemiah did. He didn't have the most elaborate prayer request or the longest prayer at that time, but he went to God when he needed him most. And God delivered. He was able to get the letters to go to the king's forest and get all the wood he needed, and the walls eventually were rebuilt. You might say, well, Nehemiah, he was dedicated. No, well, yes, but he's also a man of prayer. You look all throughout the Bible. Whenever a miracle took place, you always find, usually, someone praying behind the scenes. Look at Hannah. Hannah prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And guess what God gave her? A little boy. Samuel went on to be a great man of God. But I wholeheartedly believe she got that because she prayed. And she sought God's face. You might say, Brother Kyle, you don't know what I'm going through right now. And it's just so hard. You're right, I don't. There's an almighty God who sure does. And that's where we need to bring it to. These saints that are mentioned in verse 5, they didn't know where else to turn. They didn't know who else to go to. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Number 3, there's a powerful Savior. While the Christians are praying and Chapter 12, verse number 5, it says in verse number 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. So here's Peter. He's in jail. Not only is he in jail, but he's bound with two chains. On either side of him is a soldier, and there's people outside of his cell. You know what that tells me? Herod, Agrippa, first, this king was trying to do everything in his power to make sure nothing happened to Peter. Because he knew of someone else that they tried to crucify and tried to put him in a tomb, and he rose again. So apparently the soldiers they had outside Jesus' tomb, they didn't keep him well. They didn't keep him in the grave. He rose again. He conquered sin. He conquered the grave. He said, oh, okay, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put him between four quaternions of soldiers. That's 16 soldiers. I'm going to bind him with two chains. When he's sleeping, he's going to sleep in between two soldiers. There's going to be people outside of his prison. There's going to be, I'm going to make it sure that nobody gets in to this jail cell. Peter's not getting out tonight, folks. That's what they thought. That's what they thought. Because verse number 7 tells us a different story. Peter's there. And just going back to verse number 6, there's something I want to direct your attention to. This phrase, Peter was sleeping. This is right before he's about to be publicly executed. I don't know about you, but I don't know if I would have been sleeping. Yet there Peter was. Between two soldiers, bound with two chains, knowing that possibly his execution is very imminent. But he's sleeping. You know what that tells me? He had full faith that God either A, was going to do something, or B, he lived his life satisfying in the eyes of God enough that he was okay with going on to eternity. Yeah. That's what that tells me. He was either A, okay with dying, or B, he knew, well, God's going to do something. I'm not saying here. Might as well get a good night's sleep, because whatever God's going to do, I'm going to be out of here tomorrow. And he did. And that always struck my attention to know that Peter was sleeping during this time. It says in verse number 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hand. See, Herod did whatever he could to make sure Peter stayed there. But see, it doesn't matter when God wants to do something. God wants to answer a prayer request. When God wants to work a miracle, guess what God's going to do? It's going to happen, folks. It's going to happen. It doesn't matter what man may do and what man may try to do to prevent it from happening. If God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Praise God for that. And you find here Peter, his chains, he didn't have the key to get out of those chains. The minute he stood up, the chains fell right off. Now, the moment I was saved, the chains of sin fell off my hands. And I was set free. Praise God for that. What an amazing thing. You know, Peter, I mean, he must have been in a pretty deep sleep because the angel of the Lord, there's a light in the prison. That didn't wake Peter up. Now, the angel had to smite him on the side. Peter, you're sleeping. Let's go. You're snoring. I'm here. You got to get up. Arise up quickly. Actually, it says he raised him up. I don't know if Peter was really in a deep sleep. He was groggy or something. The angel of the Lord had to help him up. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. I need to say this. There's no better person to follow than Jesus Christ. When God's in control, there's no one better to follow. I'm going to say, when God is in control, well, that was a trick thing because God's always in control. So there's no better time to follow him than all the time. Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. But Peter couldn't believe what was going on. He thought he was still dreaming. He thought he was still sleeping. He thought he saw a vision, what was taking place, how the angel of the Lord raised him up and the chains fell off, and now he's walking out of the prison. You never find in these verses, well, the soldier tried to stop Peter. What happened to the soldiers? No one knows. I don't know, but God did something with them. God put him into a deep sleep, or maybe he put the really dumb guards on duty that night. I don't know what happened. But the Bible doesn't say anything that happened with these soldiers. It said in verse number 10, and when they were past the first and the second ward. Oh, and that's another thing. In this prison, there were different sections. So not only did Peter have to get through the first ward, then there was a second ward, and in each ward there were soldiers. And he passed through both of them without even a fight, without anyone shouting, nothing. Then verse number 10 says, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city. Uh-oh, Peter's in trouble. Peter's not going to be able to move that iron gate himself. If I know anything about an iron gate that leadeth unto the city, a whole city gate, it's going to be extremely heavy. Usually it takes several men to do it, to open that gate up every day. And that gate was shut, and here Peter's going toward it, and he's probably thinking, well, how am I going to get out of this? God had an answer for that immediately. The moment he began walking toward that gate, it began to open. You can only imagine Peter's thinking, man, I don't know how I'm going to get to. He's walking, he begins to walk toward that gate. I don't know how that thing's going to open. I don't know how that thing, oh, it's opening. Okay, never mind. Like I said, folks, when God wants to do something, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. What's that verse? Without God, I mean, with God, all things are possible. All things. Not some things, not things that, you know, all things. He's the creator of the universe. He's an almighty God. And if he wants to make it happen, he will. And he walks out. End of verse 10. And they went out and passed on through one street and forward. The angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now have I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. I want you to notice this phrase in verse number 12. And when he had considered the thing. You know what Peter was doing? He took time to think about and thank God for what he just delivered him from. You know what we're guilty of sometimes? We pray to God for something. God hears our prayer, and praise God that he does. He answers that prayer request, but then we never take time to consider the thing. Yeah, the prayer request gets answered, it gets delivered, we get delivered from whatever we're going through, we say, okay, that was great, and we go about our day like nothing happened. Let me just encourage you, when God delivers you through something and you see a prayer request get answered, consider the thing. Take time. Pause what you're doing. Say, God, thank you. I believe one of the reasons why our prayer requests don't get answered as much as we should because we don't take time to consider it. We don't take time to thank God as much as we should. We don't take time to give God the due diligence he gratefully deserves for answering our prayer requests. He considered the thing. He came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together. Oh, there it is, that word again. Praying. The people were still there. The people were still there praying that God would do something for Peter. They were there, maybe on their hands and knees, on their knees, begging God, God, please deliver Peter. Please do something amazing, almighty, unfathomable, something so incredible that only he can do it. And there they were praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. I mean, they were dedicated. Are you dedicated in your prayers to God? Many times we'll pray for it for a couple times and then, oh, I guess God's not going to answer that, so we stop. Many times God wants to see how dedicated you are, how much faith you're going to have. And they kept praying. They didn't stop praying. Me and my wife, as you can see, in 5 weeks, we're going to have our first child. When we first got married, we had a desire to have children, obviously, and we tried and we tried, and we tried and tried and tried. Nothing. So we went to the doctors and tried to figure some things out, and the doctor diagnosed my wife with something, and it makes it difficult to have children and different things like that. So, well, you can take this medication, you can do this, you can have this, and you can do that, and doing all these different things, and I said, hold on. We're not going to do any of that. I'm going to keep praying. Amen. And so we kept trying. We kept praying. I remember we had baby dedication Sunday at our church at Bayview. I was on staff there. My wife was teaching at the Bible college. I remember sitting up on the platform, and I was the song leader and music director there as well. And I was sitting on the platform on the left-hand side, and after the service, the pastor called up all the newborns and the mothers, and I remember just standing there, just tears rolling down my cheeks, saying, God, would you please do it? And how hard it was seeing all those newborns and babies and mothers and fathers, and there's me and my wife, said, God, you know our desire to have a child. Would you please give us one? And it was hard seeing that and going through that. And after the service, me and my wife, we just got on our knees and said, God, you're going to have to do something. We went back to the doctor, and after some time, still nothing. We kept praying. And we went to the doctor, and he said, well, you could try this drug, and you could do this, and you could do that. And I said, no, we're not going to do that. We're just going to keep praying. My wife was telling me, hon, maybe we should try something. Maybe we should just consider it. You know, we've been waiting for three and a half years, and we should try something. I said, no, hon, we're not going to do it. We're just going to keep praying, keep trusting God. It's amazing. We were, this past June, actually, before that, God was calling me into full-time evangelism. I was the youth director at the time, and I loved working at the church there. And when God first put that in my heart to do it, I was thinking, why? I like it here. I don't want to go traveling. Yeah, here I am. I didn't win that argument with God, did I? No, not at all. God called us to new evangelism, and I was talking to Pastor White, and he was counseling me. I was talking to Dr. Miller, and he was counseling me. I said, so June, we went into full-time evangelism for the first time. Just went out by faith. In July, my wife got pregnant. 1 month. After I said, okay, God, this is what you want me to do, I'll do it. You see, when you're following the Lord and you're seeking Him in prayer, good things usually happen. It's not because people are special, it's because God answers prayer. And God honors people of faith. See, many times we say prayer requests and we'll pray it, we'll give it to God. You know one of the things holding back those prayers getting answers is our faith. And I believe that one of the reasons why maybe that we didn't have a child, maybe I didn't have enough faith in God enough. Till finally, God finally gave us one. Amen. And He gave it in His timing. Amen. God knew I was going to evangelism in June of 2017. And maybe God, I was talking to my wife, I said, maybe God held off a child because He saw down the road, me and my wife are going to be in full-time evangelism. And maybe not having a child would help us to get launched and get started right away. Maybe He held it off for that reason. See, sometimes we look at the immediate, and we look at prayer requests and say, God, why aren't you answering this right now? But we can't look into the future. We can't see exactly God's plan for that prayer request, or God's plan for that need, or God's plan for whatever we're going through. But I can say that it's a whole lot better to trust in God with it, folks, than the trust in ourselves. Amen. We can question, we can argue, we can get angry with God and say, God, I've been praying to you, why aren't you answering my prayer request? But He sees 1, 2, 3 years down the road that if you were to answer that prayer request right now, the blessings and thing you'd miss out if you just waited on Him answering that request. Man, when we wanted a child, I thought in my mind, God, why aren't you answering this? Lord, it's your desire for married couples to have children. That's what your desire is. I mean, why, God? Why? 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 Finally, I had to let go and say, all right, God, I'm going to trust in your timing. And, well, God's timing is always perfect. You find these individuals, The whole time Peter's in prison, the whole time he was sleeping, the whole time he was in chains, and in that jail cell, they were a praying people. But then you get to verse number 13. Peter gets to the house that these people were at. Kind of interesting. They're praying for the very man that's standing outside the gate of that house. And he begins to knock. Little damsel named Rhoda gets to the gate, the door of the gate, verse 13. The very simple thing, the normal thing probably each and every one of us would have done in this room was to simply open the door. That's not what Rhoda did. Don't know why. You'll find out in heaven one day, maybe. She didn't open the door. I guess she was so overwhelmed with joy and that God answered her prayer request that she was so happy. Let me tell you something. When God answers prayer, it ought to excite you. It ought to bring you gladness. It ought to bring you joy because God has done something great in your life. Many times God answers our prayer and this is our attitude. Oh, that's good. Yeah. Man, we ought to get excited, folks, when an almighty God hears a sinner's prayer and he hears us praying and he answers that prayer request. Let me tell you something. That ought to excite you because I don't deserve to have my prayers answered. But an almighty God chooses to hear and to answer. That ought to bring joy to your heart. And it sure did for Rhoda. Made her so happy, she forgot a normal thing to do, open the door. Verse number 15, they said unto her, thou art, I'm sorry, verse number 14. And when she knew Peter's voice, the minute she knew who it was, she heard him preach. She heard him talk. She heard different things that he did. The moment she knew, maybe he knocked. And she said the famous thing everyone says when someone knocks, who is it? And Peter said, Rhoda, it's me. Peter. The moment he spoke, she knew his voice. She recognized his voice immediately. She opened not the gate for gladness. The minute she heard his voice, she got so joyful, so happy, that she just turned around and ran to go tell everyone else in the house. And yet Peter's still standing there. I don't know what he was thinking at that time. Is anyone going to let me in this house? Are they voting me out of the church or something? What's going on here? Peter's standing there. He's still knocking. And Rhoda runs in to where everyone's praying. That's what they're doing. They're still praying at this moment. And she runs in and told how Peter stood before the gate. She runs in and she begins to tell people, hey, guess what? God answered our prayer. There he is. She's at the gate. God did something. God delivered him. And one of the saddest verses in probably all the book of Acts is mentioned in the very next verse. And they said unto her, thou art mad. She runs in. Peter's standing at the gate. The very same people who were on their knees begging God to do something for Peter look Rhoda in the eyes and said, woman, you're crazy. Rhoda, you're crazy, you're mad, you've lost your mind, he's not there. I'm going to go back to pray. That's exactly what they did. You're crazy, Rhoda. He's not there. You've lost your mind. God didn't answer our prayer. Maybe they didn't verbally say that, but they sure were thinking that. How many times do we come into an old-fashioned altar and we say we're going to give it to God? We say, you know what, I'm going through this thing now, but tonight I'm going to give it to God, only to find ourselves going right back to our seats, trying to figure out how we can fix it, how we can solve it. You know what that is, folks? That's not giving it to God. The Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Verses 28 through 30. Three very powerful verses here in the book of Matthew, and Jesus Christ is speaking here. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Many times we go to an altar and we give God the yoke and we give God the burden, only to find ourselves, when we're done praying, we pick the burden back up and we take it back to our seat. That's not giving it to God, folks. There were people. You might say, oh, surely this the church in the book of Acts was perfect, right? No, it wasn't. There were people there who were praying that God would deliver Peter, only to find out they didn't have enough faith to even believe that God could even do something for him. Because as Rhoda is trying to tell him, I'm telling you, he's at the door, he's at the gate, he's there, he spoke, God did something. Rhoda, you're crazy, he's not there. Just go back to praying. Verse 15 says, but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. She kept telling him and telling him and telling him and telling him. She didn't quit. Then they said, it is his angel. It's a vision, it's a ghost, it's his angel. Maybe he's dead already. It's not really him. You've lost your mind, Rhoda. I'm sure it wasn't everyone in the house that told her these things, but whoever it was, they didn't have any faith. And we might give these individuals a hard time and say, man, that's a terrible verse. Why would they say that? We're guilty of the same thing often in our lives. We know the power of prayer. We know what prayer can do in an individual's life. But then we think God can answer, can solve all of our problems when we only give him 5 minutes a day. You know, we think that, oh, well, you know, God, surely God's going to answer my prayer, and the only time we pray is at an altar. Where's the faith? If you truly believe God can answer your prayer, he goes, why don't you let go and let God? See, in our human way, we want to try to do everything in our power. Whatever we can, we want to do it if we can. Let me just tell you this. Sometimes you need to let go. Because sometimes we can't do things. I can't do things. You can't do things. But he sure can. He sure can. Verse number 16, but Peter continued knocking. Oh, I never give you the point for that one. A praising servant, if you're taking notes, like completely just skip mentioning my point. So number one, there was a problematic situation. Number two, a praying saint. Three, a powerful savior. Four, a praising servant. And number five, there were people astonished. Peter continued knocking when they had opened the door. Maybe Rhoda got so fed up and say, fine, if you don't believe me, go answer the door. It says, when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. They were like this. They didn't know what to say. They didn't know what to do. And there stood before him the very man they were praying for. And you know how it is when you're praying for something and then God answers that prayer. That feeling, that astonishment, that, wow, God is good. That's what they felt at this moment in their life. Peter calms them down in verse 17. He beckons them with the hand to hold their peace and declared unto them how God, the Lord, had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go, show these things unto James. And he went to the brethren, and he departed and went into another place. Now, obviously, Herod wasn't very happy with what happened. Says there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. They had no idea, but God sure did. The people sure did. Peter sure did. You might say, well, Acts chapter 12, that's a beautiful story of how God answers prayer. Let me tell you something, it's not just a story, because it can happen in your life as well. You might be going through something right now, and you've been trying to figure out every way you could solve it, how to go about it, some way, shape, or form. Can I just encourage you, let go and let God. Verse number 5, people were praying. Verse number 12, they were gathered together praying. God answered prayer. God can answer your prayer. God can answer my prayer. God can answer any Christian's prayer. But the only problem is, you got to pray. You got to pray. You say, well, how important really is prayer? Billy Sunday said, if you are strangers to prayer, you are strangers to power. Or a Tory. I read his biography when I was in Bible college, and I read several biographies and still am. One of my favorite biographies is the biography of R.A. Torrey, incredible man of God. And God used him immensely in not only helping D.L. Moody, but his own personal ministry. Powerful, powerful biography. It says, when the devil sees a man or woman who really believes in prayer, who knows how to pray, and who really does pray, and above all, when he sees a whole church on its face before God in prayer, he trembles as much as he ever did, for he knows that his day in that community or church is at an end. That's the power of prayer, folks. You want to see God do something in Easton, Pennsylvania? Get a hold of God in prayer. You want to see God do something amazing in your life? Get a hold of God in prayer. You want God to deliver you from whatever you're going through right now? You might be looking at the situation, you might think, there's no way I can get through this. There's no way I have the answer to this. You're right, you don't, but there's a God that does. You just need to get to him. He has the answer. He has the key. He can take you through it. But you got to give it to him. In just a few moments, we're going to have an invitation. You know what the best place to start is? Right now. If you're going through something, give it to God. If you need encouragement, you need help, seek God about it. You know, you're only hurting yourself the more you hold back and say, I don't need God's help. I don't need his help. I can do it in my own power. I can do it in my own way. I can do it in my own strength. I don't need his help. I wonder what would have happened if that was the church's attitude toward Peter. Maybe that was Peter's attitude toward himself. I don't need God's help today. I can get myself out of this prison. He would have died. But people were praying. And people believed. And there were some that believed that God can answer prayer. And if God can answer prayers of the early church in the book of Acts, he can still do it today, folks. The same God to answer these prayer requests, all found throughout God's word. This is just one instance of an answered prayer. The Bible's full of them. He can answer yours. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day and this evening. Again, the opportunity to be here tonight in your house.